Well, good morning. It's really good to be here because I have, as Andy said, so many connections. And I met a lady a few minutes ago and we were talking about things that had happened, well, it seems like thousands of years ago, but it's only about 40, I think. There used to be another Harris family in Cheadle. Sorry? Oh, we used to go away on house party. And there was another family called Harris, and we were all mixed up, and I was really in amongst everything. And there was another Keith Harris, so there were two of us, and everybody thought we were of the same family, but we weren't. So it's really good to come and particularly meet up with Andy, who lives just around the corner, and Rob as well this morning. I retired from teaching in Stockport, 1999, and really, ever since then, I've been supporting Tear Fund. First of all, as a supporter, and then as a volunteer. And if you go into any sort of Christian work and you've been a teacher, everybody assumes you can speak for some reason or other. And so I ended up as a Tear Fund speaker. Okay, the date is April the 25th, 2015. A very powerful earthquake hits one of the world's most inaccessible countries. That's Nepal. 8,617 people are killed. 16,808 are injured. 2.8 million people are displaced. Over 1 million are in need of food assistance. And nearly 500,000 houses are destroyed. And aid agencies, and Tear Fund's one of those, really went into action straight away, which is really great, as did many churches to support them, both with their prayers and their donations. And it's a big thank you to this church for the way in which you support, particularly in those circumstances. Well, we're now 9 months after that particular devastation. And perhaps you're thinking, what effect did my contribution make? And is Tear Fund a Christian organization that I should continue to support? Well, by October, from April to October, by October, your support helped to give shelter to 75,000 families. That's providing tents and tarpaulins and other ways of supporting them in that field. Emergency food aid for 100,000 people. Non-food aid like mosquito nets and kitchen sets to 56,000 people. Psychosocial support like counselling and temporary schooling for 6,000. Water and hygiene supplies for 117,000. And cash for seeds were given to 3,000 families. Now you might say, well, that's not a massive number when you look at the totals. But just remember for a minute what Jesus said in the parable of the sheep and goats. He was talking about helping the needy. And in Matthew 25:40, he says this: whenever you did it, that's giving help, to any one of these people, my people, no matter how unimportant they seemed, you did it for me. And Jesus values every individual, every family, however few there are in number. But the next question is, isn't this support the same as that of the other DEC charities? What makes Tear Fund different? And why should we consider continuing to support them? Well, many of the organizations that did so much at the time of the earthquake have scaled back their involvement, and the media has lost interest. But Tear Fund was working in Nepal before the quake and continues to do so into the future. Why? Because we're a Christian relief organization working in over 50 countries of the world, including Britain. And the slogan is following Jesus to where the need is greatest. And to be true, that we're in it for the long haul, to support the needy, both materially and spiritually, for however long it takes. Now, Christians have said to me, a number of Christians have said, that we should leave the material part to others. And as Christians, we should concentrate on winning folk for the Lord. And it reminded me of something that William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, said. He said this: "It's impossible to comfort a person's heart with the love of God when their feet are perishing with cold." And in our reading about the feeding of 5,000 folk, Jesus displays a concern for the physical welfare of the crowd, as he does in many other instances in the Gospels. And we follow his example, having a holistic approach to the work. TFM doesn't work through official channels, but through Christian organisations called partners, working in their own countries with their own people. These partners support local churches, training them and resourcing them to go out into their communities with material and spiritual aid, taking the love of God to the people. In this way, help reaches those in need and doesn't fall into the wrong hands. In recent years, when both the controlling forces of Zimbabwe and Myanmar closed their borders to outside help when they suffered disaster, Tearfund was able to continue its work through its partners in Myanmar, that's through the Baptist Church. We believe that God is working powerfully through the local church because they work among their communities, they're always present, and they identify with the needs and they show God's love. Matthew Frost, who was just in September stood down as the chief exec of Tearfund, had a vision in 2007. He had a vision that in 10 years, 50 million people would be released from material and spiritual poverty using 100,000 local churches. Tearfund believes that just giving aid, although much needed in a disaster or refugee situation like that in Nepal, only makes people dependent on others to survive. They live with no sense of achievement, self-worth, or hope for the future. But if they can be educated and encouraged to use their own abilities and resources, meager they may be, then very exciting things happen. And it's the local church that's in a position to make this possible. As we come towards the end of the 10-year period, the latest figure that I have is that over 90,000 local churches are involved in transforming the lives of their communities, and over 36 million released from material and spiritual poverty. And that really is news to get excited about. So let's go back to Nepal to see this working out in the lives of people living there. TFM partner United Mission to Nepal was established in 1954. And works under a general and a project agreement with the Nepalese government, which has to be renewed every 5 years. Christians in Nepal have got to be very careful because the government doesn't want to see people going round converting people to Christianity. And so it's a very fine line that Christian organizations walk. And this is why there is this sort of every 5 years, what they do is reviewed by the government, and they're again given either the yes, carry on, or don't stop. And one aspect of the work they've been involved in for many years is to run short courses over several days, highlighting the dangers connected with earthquakes and landslides. And here are just three examples of how TFM support of UMN prior to the disaster bore fruit. Pastor Salman from North Dading, he'd been on a course and had gathered together a group of his congregation to pass the knowledge on that he'd learnt. The date was April the 25th, 2015. He was half an hour into his talk when the earthquake struck and the church roof started to collapse. His talk immediately became all action as he quickly moved his audience to the strongest part of the building, below the windows and main door. "I'm really grateful to UMN for providing this training," he said, "because it saved our lives." If the worst happens and disaster strikes, saving survivors is a race against time. But if you live in the high hills of Nepal, where it can take days to reach, waiting for outside help isn't an option. The people have to do the rescuing themselves. And that's why UMN's teaching of basic search and rescue skills proves so invaluable to so many in cut-off communities. In the community of Rhee, where the quake killed over 70 people, this training was put into practice by the villagers, and over 40 trapped people were rescued from the debris. Locally made stretchers were used to transport the injured miles to where helicopters could safely land and take them to their hospitals. As well as offering training days, UMN gets together with community members to assess what risks they face by helping different villagers set up disaster management committees to come up with plans to mitigate the dangers. In one village, a lack of first aid knowledge was recognised, so a first aid group was formed, trained, and supplied with a first aid kit. So, by looking at the work of one of Christian partners in Nepal, you can see how this is an ongoing work among the people. Not just a presence in a disaster situation. And already, Tirfun's Nepal country director, and I can't pronounce his name, so I'm not going to say it, is looking to the future and says that Tirfun is now starting the next phase of recovery work, which includes the construction of earthquake-resilient homes and support for families to regain their livelihoods. He also plans to continue efforts to better prepare poor communities for future disasters, because by doing so, lives will be saved. So you can see that your involvement here as a church, while specifically to help during the earthquakes, reaches out into the future in supporting the people of Nepal. So what now? I do hope I've been able to show you this morning that Tirfund is a relief organisation worthy of your support. But you might be saying to yourself, I can't do much at all. So let's look for just a minute at that reading, a situation when Jesus had 5,000 mouths to feed. You notice first that it was the disciples who were concerned about the crowd being hungry. And they turned to Jesus for help. But he says to them, do something about it yourselves. And they say to him, look, we can't. We just don't have the resources at all to be able to do that. And then Jesus meets them at the place that they are at. The place they're at is with just a small amount of fish and bread. And he blesses what they have, and he tells them to distribute it among the needy. Now, I don't think that when Jesus blessed the food, great mounds of it appeared in front of him. You can imagine him blessing the fish and the herbs, and suddenly a great mound of fish and a great pile of bread came up in front of him, and the disciples picked great piles of it, weighed down with it, and staggered to the crowd. I don't think it was like that. It was only when they approached the crowd with what they had, small amount of fish, small amount of bread, it was only then that their faith in him wrought a miracle. And Jesus is performing miracles around the world today in the poorest regions, and he asks us to have faith and do what we can. So do come to chat to me. I'll have a table at the back there, some stuff on it, particularly the tier times. If you don't take tier times, it's free 4 times a year. It's very informative. It's got a great prayer diary inside it as well. And you can stay up to date with what's going on. So do take one of those. Also, I've got some stuff there about, for teenagers really, and teenagers and young adults, called Rhythms as a newspaper, and you can actually download an app, and that again is a very, very good way of getting involved. And then there are some other stuff as well. If you'd like to go overseas, as Andy's mentioned, there's some stuff about that, either as a young person or as an older person. I went to Uganda and Kenya 8 years ago now, and I'm very old, So you know, anybody can do it. So do come and chat to me after the service. I know we've not got much time, but have a talk.